reminds me of the great silent movies we did before Tony completely gave up on making videos.
I think we peaked anyway. Can we really have topped the Baghead Bandit?
Can I add the Baghead Bandit was an award-winning film?
That's true.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm amazed at my own talents. I'm going to see if Baghead Bandit's still on YouTube. Maybe we can introduce it today to a brand new audience. There's ragtime in the Baghead Bandit.
And alcohol.
Oh, it wasn't the Baghead Bandit. It was the Paper Bag Bandit.
You sure?
That's why I always get messed up. Yeah. There it is. Paper Bag Bandit. God damn. How about that? Should we play some of the music?
I don't see why not.
It is a silent film, everybody, but this is the music from the Baghead Bandit. F4W presents Brian Alvarez, Vincent Verhey, and Sean Garrett in this 3-minute award-winning silent short. So if you go to YouTube and you type in Paper Bag Bandit, the one that looks like a silent film is the one we're talking about. Let's play some of this. God, this was great. Vinny is the governor, which I know is quite the stretch. Sean is a policeman. And I play the role of a prisoner.
A lush.
And there is, in fact, a swerve in this particular video. But it's a good one. It's a good swerve. I am quite proud of this video, I'm not going to lie. Everybody check it out, the Paper Bag Bandit on YouTube. I think there are a couple of these actually up on YouTube.
What about Kill That Mole?
I don't think Kill That Mole is up there.
That's a pity.
I can check. I don't even know who Magnolia206 is that posted this. That's not Tony. What else have they posted? Oh, it's Sean!
Oh, well, there you go then.
Since another one of the videos is Evan gets chased by a rooster.
Why, yes.
All right, let's see.
That actually sounds more entertaining, I won't lie.
There's only 1,600 views for that version of the Paper Bag Bandit, which is the number one. It's the number one thing that comes up. Apparently, there are other Paper Bag Bandits up there, but none of them have nearly the views of the original. So, Paper Bag Bandit, at the time I'm recording this, has 1,629 views. I want 10 times the number of views tomorrow for Paper Bag Bandit. So, go up to the YouTube right now, type it in, check it out, and have a good time. What was the other one? Kill That Mole?
Kill That Mole.
I don't think Kill That Mole is up there.
And one that I guarantee you is not, but still has a hold to place in my heart, is Get My Keys.
That's right. Get My Keys.
Because we were just experimenting with the how to make stuff look old-timey and silent movie-ish, and you've never seen a man half-ass his way through anything the way I half-assed my way through that.
What the hell? Kill That Mole. That's right, and it involved you getting blown up, if I recall correctly.
Probably. I remember me chasing you on a bike.
Yeah? That's right. I'm pretty sure that one is not on YouTube, unfortunately. Which makes me really sad. Because that was a good one. I'll have to see if Tony's got it and if he can up. Actually, I may have it somewhere. I don't know how to upload it to YouTube if it's on DVD. I'm not that technologically advanced, everybody. But if I can ever find Kill That Mole, I'll put that one up on the website or on the YouTube. It's a good one. Maybe I'll put this. In fact, I'll put Kill That Mole on the front page for those of you that have, or not Kill That Mole, whichever one I just talked about. Paper Bag Bandit. Put that one up on the front page later today, so you don't have to search YouTube. It'll just be up there. All right, everybody. In fact, I'll put it, I'll just put it up. Go to WrestlingObserver.com if you're listening to this, if you're a freeloader right now. It is a free show, so you can go up there and check that out and support Sean's YouTube page. And then maybe you too can watch Evan get chased by a rooster. All right, what do we have to talk about today?
I was just asking that. We have SmackDown.
Did you email me the thing that we watched tonight?
No, I'll do that right now.
Email me those notes.
We did watch Roundtable, Legends, it's just called now, Legends of Wrestling. They discussed Canada. We watched SmackDown, we watched a pay-per-view, and we watched Monday Night Raw.
Actually, I haven't watched SmackDown yet, so we can't review that today.
I don't think it was terribly interesting anyway.
Plus, the pay-per-view already happened, so what's the point?
Let's just go home.
There's going to be a spoiler right now, everybody. If you do not want a SmackDown spoiler, fast forward about 5 minutes. You have been warned. Randy Orton already beat Christian for the title.
I was going to guess that, actually.
What the fuck?
Well, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Quit watching wrestling.
You may do that.
Not only that, no one cares about TNA spoilers. You know who Kurt Angle's woman is?
I did see that note, yes.
China!
Yeah.
They've lost their minds. Everyone has lost their minds. You know, if you move Randy Orton to SmackDown, shouldn't you, like, have him, I don't know, chase for the title? Why did he win it the first night in? I don't even get it.
I guess they figured Christian was such death as champion, they had to get the belt off him immediately.
I guess. Maybe they should have looked at the Raw rating first. John Cena is champion for the 8,000th time.
Mm-hmm.
And Raw with The Rock ends up doing like a 3-4. Does anyone really, really need to see John Cena as champion again? Apparently the answer is no. Time for some new blood. And Randy Orton is not the new blood in question.
Randy Orton and John Cena do not count?
I even count Christian as new blood, even though he's been there for about 1,000 years.
Because he's never been a top guy before.
At least it would have been something different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, WWE, in May of 2011, John Cena is champion on one brand, and Randy Orton is the champion on the other brand. Wow. Thank God for that draft. Thank God for...
Developmental.
The elevation of new stars here in this time of need. You know that, like, either Cena or Orton is just bound to get hurt. It's just like destiny. And then they're going to go, oh, what do we do now? Let's put the title on The Great Khali. Who do they have? Think about this. If Randy Orton or John Cena went down, who do they have to put the title on right now? Where's that roster again?
Big Show.
Let me go back to the roster that was in the Observer last week. Where is it?
In the Observer.
Thank you, Vince.
Trying to help.
That was a rhetorical question. Where is it? All right. Let's say that John Cena and or Randy Orton went down. Who would we have to make the champion? On SmackDown, it would have to be either Christian.
Irony.
Kane.
Yeah.
That's it. Or they'd have to put it on a new guy. And God knows they wouldn't put it on Christian, so they just put it on Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Kane is your champion if Randy Orton gets hurt, everybody.
He was champion for 6 months last year.
Oh, my God. On Raw, if John Cena went down, they ain't putting on Rey, obviously. So I guess either Miz would get it back or Alberto Del Rio would win it. And that's it!
Big Show.
Or the Big Show! Boy.
Sad state of affairs.
Well, at least I heard Christian and Randy Orton was a good match. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the pay-per-view. Give your thoughts very quickly.
A bunch of really good wrestling for a show nobody bought and didn't really matter. And the best match was a title change that was... I honestly did not expect Christian to make it past the next pay-per-view, but I thought he would make it to the next pay-per-view.
Wrong!
I overestimated them.
You were incorrect.
Yeah, so that match is now irrelevant.
Yeah.
And that's the show. Where the hell are my notes for that?
Thank God I paid for that pay-per-view to see Christian lose the title the next day.
Yeah. What were the other highlights? I mean,
especially the way the crowd went nuts. Boy, they went nuts when Christian won that title. And he hugged it, and Edge came out, and they all hugged.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was so happy, and the belt meant so much to Christian. And they just took it off him.
Randy Orton for the
first
time.
Very down
on
wrestling right now.
Well, there's a lot to be down about. We watched a Monday Night Raw that I guess was a fun show, but it was weird.
It's very weird.
It didn't lead to anything, really. Except we... talked about how great a guy was who we all knew was already great.
Yeah.
It was a show, talk about a failure to develop new stars. The point of Monday Night Raw was to get over The Rock.
Because he'd have us a match next year.
Yes. We are 11 months away now.
Yeah.
Everything's pointless. Why would anyone want to get into this business right now?
No one does. Everyone wants to get out.
Yes.
It's a sad state of affairs, everybody. It's a sad state of affairs.
I think it was a week ago on the show we were talking about how Punk's contract was running up. We were talking about how he would never go to TNA. And I I agree, he would never go to TNA.
Can't go to TNA.
And someone mentioned he made us take a sabbatical, and I thought, oh, well, that makes more sense.
Yeah, you just go home.
Just leave.
Just go home and get some tats.
Sure.
Sit around.
Not drink beer.
Not drink beer, yeah.
But yeah, that's
probably watch some UFC if he knows what's good for him.
Sure.
You know, when I wrote the cover story today about UFC 129 versus WrestleMania, and I put over both, I tried to be as balanced as possible and talk about the good and the bad. Tried to end that article with you thinking, man, you know, it ain't so bad in wrestling and mixed martial arts nowadays. And then hours later, TNA signs China.
Yeah.
WWE takes the belt off Christian and puts it on Randy Orton. I've lost my smile with wrestling right now. Maybe it'll come back tomorrow. Well, it won't. What's Thursday? Oh, Impact.
That's out.
Yeah, maybe it'll come back Thursday with Impact, or Impact the next week after, or SmackDown on Friday. Like I said, at least it was a good match. That's what they've said. But, and then Raw was a really entertaining show, mm-hmm. but again, Miz and Alex Riley are still together.
Yes, they are.
Someone did point out it's a special joint show because The Rock is there. It's a birthday, so guys from both brands can be on the show.
Is that what it was?
That was their explanation, which begs the question. So, I don't even know why they do the draft. I still don't even know why there's a brand extension.
There's really not anymore.
What is the point? So
Christian was on Raw, wasn't he? Yeah.
You're telling me that Alex Riley is not going to be on Raw next week? I'll bet you anything he's on Raw next week. Why is there a brand extension right now? Is there anything even worth reviewing today?
I don't feel like it.
Should we just rant and rave?
As you were going through the music before the show and thinking, I thought to myself, this show, I mean, it always sucks. But this may be a particularly sucky show because I don't have anything to say about any of this. The highlight on Raw for me, well, I thought the Cena-Miz match, except for the finish, was great. But the other highlight for me was Great Khali walking in as the Tooth Fairy and saying, in Khali's, you can't handle the tooth.
Yeah.
That was the best part of Raw.
What else? What else can I bitch about on this show today?
Rock, after he came out and did his speech, he welcomed Mr. 305. And I actually thought, MVP's back? No, he left. He left the nation rather than stick with his company.
Yeah, he got out.
He escaped.
He quit. He was like, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of my childhood dream. He's not the only one. How many people have had enough of their childhood dream?
Punk, apparently.
A lot of them. A lot of people have had enough
of their... I've heard Ray off and on over the years.
Childhood dream. Rave? Jimmy Rave?
Ray. Well, him too.
Oh, Ray?
I meant Ray Mysterio.
Yeah, Ray comes and goes.
Yeah. They do have Karma. Karma's made two appearances. They've both been great.
It's one good thing they're doing.
One good thing they're doing.
If she destroys a dead division.
Well, yeah.
Quite the deal there.
Talked about Great Khali. I really, really, really enjoyed the Cena-Miz match.
Till the finish.
The finish was... You know...
It sucked!
I did not hate it as much as you did.
It sucked!
Just, it was a creative way to do a fuck finish.
Really? It was creative?
Yeah. Because I have seen a million matches end when the heel uses a foreign object and then gets caught, but I've never seen him get caught with the belt because, you know, he was covering the belt, and then the ref... counted three, and order the bell rang, and they went to get the belt, and it was missing. Where did the belt go? And he turned around and saw it in the heel's hands and figured, hey, you asshole, you use that as a weapon.
Couldn't Riley have rushed over there the moment the bell rang, grabbed the belt, and brought it into the ring? Is that not possible?
Oh, it's possible.
Of course! Therefore, if it's possible, you cannot convict the guy.
But they did.
It was not beyond a reasonable doubt that Alex Riley got the belt immediately and brought it into the ring. In the grand scheme of fuck finishes, this one was dumb. The ref couldn't have just saw what happened on the Titantron.
That would have worked.
There is a giant IMAX-sized screen right there.
Yeah.
He couldn't have looked up and went, huh, well, how about that? No. They had tried to be overly creative for once. I don't understand having to be overly creative. Just be creative. Don't even be creative.
Just tell a story.
Just be obvious.
Yes.
Just tell a tale that a 5-year-old could understand. Or me.
So then we had a match where we just had the draft.
By the way, do you realize that's probably setting up a rematch at the pay-per-view?
Cena and Miz?
Cena and Miz again.
Of course.
With Alex Riley out there, I'm sure.
It's been that way for years. That's one of the biggest problems they have is that every pay-per-view is the same match for 3 or 4 months in a row.
Hmm.
That's what they do. I'm not making... this is not a revelation. It is a known fact.
Yeah.
We then had a tag match. Now, last week we had the draft where the idea was to shake up the rosters, get some...
Actually, hold on. Let me say something else about Miz and Cena. Let me say something else here. So, why did they do that finish?
So they'd have a reason to book a rematch?
Dave's theory is they didn't want to beat either man.
Mm.
I hadn't thought about this till right now.
Why not?
What do you mean, why hadn't I thought about this?
Why don't they want to beat either man?
Well, that's how they always do things. No one can lose in this company.
Of course.
No, but when I thought about that just now, I just realized, but they did beat Cena.
I suppose.
He got pinned.
He
got pinned right... Now, granted, it was he got hit by the belt or whatever, but he was pinned.
Mm-hmm.
And then he won via DQ because the ref saw it, but he was still pinned. He was still beaten. So why didn't they just have it be a non-title match and Miz fucked him and won, and now you've got a rematch at the pay-per-view?
I don't know.
Why couldn't you just do that? Why can't Miz just win?
That is a much better question.
I know people will say he wins all the time, Brian. He rarely loses. But seriously. Seriously.
Then get out of the semantics argument and just ask, why does Miz never beat anyone? Miz almost never, he may get a pinfall here and there. He never destroys his opponent. Never leaves them vanquished. He never beats anyone. Ever.
If I went to a local, middle school and I beat up a bunch of kids, usually via cheating, mind you, would I be in line for a UFC title shot?
Probably not.
In WWE, I would be!
Yeah. No, in WWE, you would, what happened? You would just get pinned by the champion over and over again, but keep getting title shots.
Well, that's the other one,
that's
too,
the
yes.
closest one, actually.
Yes. I could be beaten by...
Jose Aldo would smoke you.
Yeah,
and they would
Jose Aldo in his weight division would kill me, mm-hmm. and then at the next show, I'd just get another chance.
Right.
Hmm. And then, he'd hurt himself during his ring entrance, and I'd be declared the winner or something like that, and then people would write on the internet that I was a top 5 fighter. These same people that think that Miz is over.
Sure.
Through this booking. Hmm. May continue.
Are we doing Cena and Miz now?
Sure.
All right.
For the time being. Till I get my dander up about Alex Riley being on the show again.
Well, we had the draft last week where the idea was to shake up rosters and get new matchups. So then we had Rey and Kofi versus Swagger and Drew. 4 guys who were on SmackDown and now are on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, draft.
Yippee.
And they're doing Alberto versus Rey again.
Mm-hmm.
They're feuding over who was the only Mexican on Raw. Which was funny when I believe it was Cole mentioned Rey Mysterio, who now lives in San Diego.
So Loser is no longer a Mexican?
I guess. Maybe Loser has to go home.
Loser becomes a Mexicant?
I just like that they said Rey now lives in San Diego, whereas, he's been there. He's grew up there. Lived there his whole life. Went to school there.
Hmm.
Yeah. They were doing the birthday wishes throughout the show. I was very relieved when I later learned that I was far from alone. In fact, I may have been in the majority when they showed Dan Marino, and I thought it was David Hasselhoff. And I was trying to figure out why they were playing the NFL Monday Night theme song, Monday Night Football theme song, when David Hasselhoff was on TV. No, it was Dan Marino. That's bad for Dan, by the way. We had the Mae Young thing. Seen it a million times before. We had the main event of the show, Kane versus Mason Ryan.
Yes. That was the main event of the program, everyone.
CM Punk had a long sleeve shirt on. Perhaps they have banned tattoos now.
Perhaps.
I don't know.
Or he just no longer cares.
Or he just doesn't care. He's just cold. So, yes, they decided they're giving Mason Ryan the monster push where he beats up Kane and Big Show, but he still can't win.
Of course. He couldn't just beat Kane.
No.
How are people supposed to get over if no one can lose?
I don't know.
Except, like, Christian?
Yeah.
I just don't get it. It's very depressing. Mason Ryan and Kane.
I'm defeated. I tap out.
I'm trying to think of if there's a worse feud that you could possibly do than Mason Ryan versus Kane.
Kali would be the only one.
Kali or Vladimir Kozlov? That's about it.
Yeah, that'd be worse.
That's about it. Actually, Kozlov and Mason Ryan would at least be perversely entertaining. This would just be a series of bad matches.
A series of quarter star matches over and over again.
If we're lucky, it'll be a quarter star. Because last night, sure as shit, wasn't a quarter star. It's the main event of Raw. That was a dud.
Actually, and also, this is the finish that bothered me because you mentioned see this all the time. Guys will run in and get punched. The ref doesn't care. CM Punk ran in and got punched by Kane, and they called it a DQ.
Yep.
The rules changed.
He didn't lay his hands on anybody.
No, it was attempted interference is what he was disqualified for.
Every time I bring that up on TNA about why is so-and-so in the ring right in front of the referee and it's not a DQ, they go, well, they didn't lay their hands on anybody. Hmm. So, you're telling me that, like, in a UFC fight...
If Steven Seagal ran through the cage during a...
Steven Seagal?
Seagal.
Is that a... That I don't need to see.
Actually, I did have to check. That is how his name is spelled, a Seagal.
I realize that. But that's, your last name is pronounced Verhee.
It's pronounced many ways, most of them incorrect.
If Steven Seagal hit the ring during Lyoto Machida's match, and before he could get his hands on Randy, Randy speared him, the match wouldn't be thrown out.
It would be the best UFC of all time.
It wouldn't be thrown out.
But yes, I believe they would stop the fight.
Yeah.
When the Fan Man hit the ring in the Holyfield fight, did they stop the fight for that?
The Fan Man?
Do you remember the boxing match? It's been almost 20 years now. But a guy had a giant fan on his back and in a parachute, and he hit the ring.
I don't recall the fan.
This happened.
I believe you. I don't recall this, though.
I think they stopped the fight. They got the guy out of there, and 10 minutes later, they restarted, if I remember right.
Well, how about that?
It's been many years.
Maybe that's what they should have done here.
But they did not... Well, yeah. Mm. I don't know. Kane and Mason Ryan, what do you want?
And I just want some consistency.
Yeah.
That's all I ask for.
And then Rock came out, and he was the Rock, and they showed a highlight video. It was nice, and then Maya showed up saying happy birthday, and the show ended. Bizarre, really.
That was Raw.
It accomplished nothing except getting their biggest star more over, which actually does not sound like a bad thing.
Who really isn't their biggest star, because he's not going to be around for a while again.
Yeah.
Let's do a song here, which hopefully will be better than Raw.
This is entitled Dog Shit by the Wu-Tang featuring Old Dirty Bastard. She flew in like calm breeze.
Tall brown skin, her weave like palm trees.
I went cocoa nuts.
Dip my dunk in between your donut.
Don't want it if it ain't no slut, bitch. And then it gets gross.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I got half your shout out worth, buddy. It was free.
All right, that wouldn't do bad.
No gross lyrics, it says. That's why I played it. What a rapper you turned out to be, Vinny.
I'm a very talented man.
No, you're not. I didn't watch SmackDown, so I can't comment on that. Anybody have any other thoughts on the pay-per-view? You still can't find your notes?
No, I can't find where I was at the bottom of my notes. I had to find the button to get me back to the top. We watched the pay-per-view. We watched it at 8 o'clock on the West Coast, which means we watched this exactly as the news of Osama bin Laden's death was breaking. And so I'm watching CM Punk wrestle Randy Orton and also reading CNN news reports, and suddenly I hear Booker T say loudly and passionately, "Payback is a mother." Indeed. So they had a good match. They worked really hard. They went through a lot of pain, particularly when Randy hit the RKO on the table, and the table did not break. That looked like it sucked copious amounts of cock. And then finally Randy hit the He hit CM Punk with a stick over and over again, or as I noted, whacked him like the world's most difficult pinata, and then hit an RKO off the top, and Punk stayed down, and he won. I went 3 stars.
3 stars?
Yes.
That's fine.
All right.
You know, I was so bullish on wrestling
24 hours ago.
After the pay-per-view, a good pay-per-view.
It was a good pay-per-view.
A good pay-per-view and a good Raw. I was positive about the changes in the wrestling business coming out of the draft. Now, no more.
They're doomed.
Just depressing. Go on.
Some wacky birth certificate humor with Sheamus. Then he wrestled Kofi in a tables match. It was a very boring tables match. Booker T, again, the highlight on commentary, saying, I think Sheamus needs to quit wasting time. Not a good thing when announcers say that during your match. It did pick up at the end, and Kofi's finish of doing the boom drop off the top rope through the table on the floor was fucking awesome. I went star and 3/4.
Oh, my God.
I don't underrate that. Do we know? Do we care?
I don't even have my star ratings in front of me. I only remember a few of them.
We had another great Angry Truth promo. He's almost as great now as he was in the early, early days of TNA. But he's much better being angry than whatever he was the last 3 or 4 years.
I was excited about Truth until today. Now I just figure they're going to mess it up. It's like, it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed he's not going to be a star.
Right.
They just won't let him.
Exactly.
They won't let him until they're, like, out of business and doing stupid stuff. Like, I don't even know what they're going to do when wrestling fails. They'll have to come up with something.
Maybe that's why they're buying everything else they can get their hands on.
Which will fail.
Yeah.
In the end, they'll fail, and they'll have to go back to doing wrestling, and they'll just have to start all over from scratch and go, you know, we shouldn't have killed the wrestling when we had it.
Let's bring the smoke back into the arena.
Yeah. Let's work in some smoke-filled arenas here and start over again.
Open a bingo hall.
Good God.
Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler versus Jack Swagger and Michael Cole. This sucked. This feud. God. It was better than Mania, but all you need to know about this is there was a point where Swagger was beating up Lawler, and then Lawler tagged out and made a hot tag to Jim Ross.
Yeah.
And Jim Ross, the fat old man with Bell's palsy, made his comeback on Jack Swagger.
Yeah.
What shit this is. Then Swagger escaped and we got Ross and Cole wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
The point of this match, everyone, a country whipping match, the guys have leather straps in their hand. So that when you have two guys who cannot wrestle, such as Jim Ross and Michael Cole, they can just hit each other with their whips and everything will be fine. But no, they did spots.
Well, not much of a spot. There was a
clothesline. Yeah, and it sucked.
Yeah.
Jim Ross nutshotted Swagger. He got pinned by Cole. Very, very generous here, going 1/4 star.
I got to say, aside from Ross running wild on Swagger, which I actually don't even remember. I'll take your word for it. I just remember when the match was over, I thought, in-ring action, wretched. But the story of the match, if someone told me, Brian, put together a match, it's Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler against Jack Swagger and Michael Cole, and we want Cole to beat Ross. Put this thing together. It would be remarkably like what ended up on television. Story of the match was fine.
All right.
How else could you possibly have done this, Vince?
I wouldn't have. I would have the announcers announce and not wrestle.
I realize that.
All right,
but
there you go.
I'm just saying, how else would you have done this having to have to do it?
I there's no better way.
It was fine.
There's only so much you can do with this shit.
It was fine.
We had a John Cena promo where he said with a straight face that he had not been WWE champion in 10 months.
10 whole months. And it's been a bad 10 months, apparently, because now he's champ again.
Yeah. Cody and Ray, crowd brawling. Cody got a promo saying he wants fans to put bags in their heads because they're extremely ugly. That's all he said. A 10-year-old wrote this promo.
Yeah.
They did a lot of crowd brawling. They went to the concourse. There was a Boston Crab on the stairs. I like they went flying to a stack of garbage cans that was just in the middle of the floor.
Sure.
Just just right in the middle.
Garbage collection the next
they
day.
Hit each other with Rubbermaids. The fans chanted, "This is awesome." Rated AK brought off a countertop. Eventually, they got back in the ring. They did some more stuff. Ray won with Green Mist in the 619.
I enjoyed.
It was fine.
I thought this was a great match. And I liked the Green Mist finish.
It was, that was new.
It was something different.
It was something different and new.
It was something pro wrestling.
Sure.
So now he'll never do it again.
Layla was shunned. She wanted to apologize to the other divas. They said none of them liked her, but they liked Michelle even less. This was so phony, I wrote. If only I knew what was going to come.
Oh, yeah. It got much, much better.
Yeah. So Layla wrestled Michelle. This was like, I forget exactly what you described this as, but yes, they worked their asses off. They did everything they could to have a good match, and the crowd refused to care. Was unable to care, is a better way to put it, because this whole thing was done so poorly. Actually, the one thing I do want to mention about SmackDown, as you know, this was originally booked to be Loser Leaves SmackDown, and then was changed to Loser Leaves WWE. The edit on Michelle's promo when this was done was so out of this world phenomenally bad. It is worth going out of your way to watch the Michelle McCool, Layla L segment just for that moment when they edit, when they splice in Michelle saying WWE instead of SmackDown. So it was all rushed, it was all badly planned, and so no one cared. They did everything they could to have a good match here. And what happened? Michelle went for the Styles Clash, but Layla turned it into a roll-up and won. There was one child jumping up and down. I figured this had to be Layla's sister. But a very good match that no one gave a shit about. And then Karma made her in-ring debut. She had cool music with herself cackling evilly. She made a slow, methodical march down to the ring. Michelle was petrified with fear, and then Karma destroyed her. She hit the implant buster. She smiled. Then she frowned. She was big and scary. This ruled. And then they cut backstage.
Somebody apparently had said, "Girls, come here. All of you, make a line, side by side.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Shoulder to shoulder. Make sure you're facing the camera. Yeah, your hips are pointing towards the camera, but your faces are watching the television. And pretend to be concerned."
That's what happened.
Oh, my God.
It was not good television.
Oh, my God. Can't you just get all the girls and tell them to watch the TV and, you know, be scared?
I guess not.
Like, pretend like you're really scared. Instead of just pretending you're scared. Actually, be scared. They should have put everybody in front of the television and say, "Kong is going to powerbomb every one of you on the floor before the end of the month. So watch this and get ready."
Yeah.
So they should have told them.
We had Alberto and Ricardo practicing how to introduce Alberto as new world champion. A great moment. Then Christian wrestled Alberto. They had a ladder match, and it was not every ladder match I've ever seen. They've been doing these regularly now for like 15 years. Thought I had seen everything you could possibly do with a ladder. I was wrong. They did some creative stuff. I like Christian being knocked off the ropes, but landing on a ladder on the floor and then hitting a dive from there. That was cool. They did some stuff with a short ladder and Alberto working over the arm and going for the cross arm breaker and stuff. They also did some very violent stuff, like Christian taking the ladder ride down to the mat and landing on it. It sucked. Alberto getting a backdrop on a ladder in the ring and then going off the top rope, trying to do a move and going through a ladder on the floor or a ladder bridge. That looked very, very painful. And then the finish was, you know, there's when you do interference in every match, but then in the end, the babyface overcomes the interference and wins the belt anyway. That's when it works.
Yeah.
That's what happened here. Christian fought off Ricardo and Brodus and Alberto, and only after the heels interfered, Edge came out for a distraction, and this let Christian topple Alberto out, and he grabbed the belt and won. He was ecstatic to have the belt. He was ecstatic to do it arm-in-arm with his best friend. They had their moment, and then Edge just left and let Christian, the world champion, have his moment in the sun.
Yeah.
For 48 hours.
It was great!
Yes, this was a great, great, great match. Sucks to be wrestling fan. I think it sucks to be Christian, but really.
Yeah.
Sucks more to be us.
There you go.
Zeke and Wade wrestled Kane and Big Show.
Why was this match on the pay-per-view? I still have not got a decent answer to this question.
I want to know who these fucking lumberjacks are. Why was there a man in a cowboy hat out there?
That was Harry Smith.
Why was he wearing a cowboy hat?
He's a Calgary Stampeder.
When did this happen?
Apparently on Superstars that nobody watches.
Correct! You've identified the problem.
There were NXT geeks on the show. Unrecognizable. This whole thing was just...
Everything about this sucked.
Idiotic.
That's all I gotta say about that. And then we had the cage match with Miz and Cena and Morrison. It was good, but it was not as good as Christian and Alberto.
Yeah.
There was more sloppiness, including Miz nearly dying. You know, we talk all the time about how Michael Cole is a shitty announcer. And even when he's not playing a character, the best he can do for a big spot is to say, "Oh my." And when Miz took the accidental super double brainbuster, and Cole gave out a soft but passionate, "Oh my God."
Yeah.
Like he thought he had just seen a fatality.
We all did.
Yes, when he's capable of sounding interesting, he just doesn't.
How can Cena still not wrestle after all these years? That was 100% Cena's fault.
Don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
He, you go down and you go up.
Well, he went down.
Day one, wrestling school, learning a suplex. Ready? Go down, go up. Not John Cena. Let's get on the middle fucking rope, and I'll hook you for a double suplex with Morrison, and I'll go down and keep going down.
Keep going down.
My God.
So, I know your pet peeve is in cage matches where the idea is to escape the cage to win.
Flee!
At least, in most of the time you do that, the idea is to incapacitate the other person, beat them up so badly that they can't stop you from climbing out. In this one, the idea was to wait until the other two men were fighting and then attempt to sneak out. Use stealth to escape. So then they did a spot where, after all this, Morrison's up on top of the cage, and Miz and Cena are in the ring, and Morrison, rather than climb down and, you know, win, opts to do a starship paint off the top of the cage.
Yeah, which looked horrible.
It did look horrible. Matthews tried to cover it up, saying there was no guarantee he would have escaped. He had a 10-foot head start, and gravity was on his side.
Yeah.
So it was stupid. What happened? Cena pinned Miz.
Cena pinned Miz with a super FU.
It was not a bad match. When you consider it went like 20-plus minutes, not bad actually means it was pretty good, but I don't ever need to see it again. It was not as good as the match that followed. And aside from the finish, it was not as good as the match on Raw the next night.
All that work, I put that term in quotation marks, to try to make Miz into a big star and a deserving champion, and this was the end? Just had a three-way cage match and got FU'd for the pin. I don't know.
Is Miz...
I did not expect him to lose, because I thought, well, you know, they're still trying.
I guess the question now is...
Does he ever become champion again or anytime soon?
Well, that too.
But the answer is probably no.
It's related. Is Miz a bigger star right now than he was the day before he cashed in Money in the Bank?
I think he's a bigger star the day before he cashed it in, to be honest
with you.
I do too,
because at least he had the briefcase gimmick. Now he's just another ex-champ.
He had not failed yet.
Yes.
He had not been unable to beat anyone consistently for months on end. I felt bad for the guy. It's like,
that's true. He did his best.
There's your title reign, buddy. You were Chris Jericho 2011, going into that match with Triple H in Toronto.
Yes.
That's what you were. So,
side note.
You know, maybe in 5 years they'll really give him a chance. That's how they normally operate. This was your first title run where you're this year's Jack Swagger.
That is true.
Just not a complete comedy geek. Why can't they just make new stars?
You know, really I just went to my SmackDown notes, and the first name I see is Randy Orton. His first world title reign lasted a month.
They made a giant star at UFC in Toronto. His name is Mark Hominick. He nearly killed Jose Aldo Jr. Actually, he didn't. He got a huge hematoma on his head and punched him from the guard a little in the fifth round. But regardless, everybody in the crowd thought that he nearly killed him. You know, the next show in Canada with Mark Hominick, of all people, he's going to be a huge star. And it's real! This fucking sport, WWE, is fake, and they cannot make any stars. It's mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling.
I'm just going to skim the SmackDown stuff.
No, we don't need to.
Well,
hear
it's irrelevant.
No, this I got to hear.
The first
then.
Segment, Orton came out and was talking and was cutting a promo when Drew McIntyre interrupted, a potential new star, Randy or RKO'd him, made him look like a geek.
That's what we need, is RKO the only guys on your show?
Yeah.
There aren't a lot on SmackDown or
so,
Raw.
Out came Alex Riley. He was also RKO'd and made to look like a geek.
Well, he is a geek. Really, Alex but Riley?
They could try.
Yeah.
Not even trying. Swagger and Sin Cara had a very fun match. Yay, Sin Cara on SmackDown. Anything else important happened? That may have been it.
Let's play a song, and then we'll talk a little bit about 24/7 here. What in the hell's that?
It's got three legs, and two are on this rug, and one's on the main carpet.
Is this the Big Show cutting a promo?
No! It's got
huge tits? In the knee?
In the knee? Some of my family has that, you know.
Was he a midget? Yeah.
Ah! You're playing me over!
What in the hell's that?
Carpet. No!
Fuck you!
No!
What in the hell's that?
My foot.
Apparently we got messed up on the Christmas show.
That sound like drunk me.
You don't say. Alrighty. Well, we watched WWE Legends Canada. I finally found a Legends Roundtable on WWE Classics On Demand.
I think that's why you couldn't find it, because they changed the name. Mm. It's not called Roundtable anymore. It's just called Legends.
We had Gene Okerlund hosting. We had Pat Patterson, Michael Hayes, Jim Ross, and Bret Hart all talking about Canadian superstars. And all I got to say, if you just ask me, Brian, name the things that just really stick out at you from this show. Number one is that Gene Okerlund has more knowledge than I actually kind of expected out of him. I don't know why. He's been around literally forever. He's been around since the original Olympics back in
ancient Greece.
Yeah. But, I don't know. He threw out some facts here and there that I was like, man, this guy knows his stuff. That's number one. And number two, the best thing ever. When Gene asks Brett, who was the best Canadian wrestler of all time? There's part of me that thought, well, Brett's going to say Brett. Well, he didn't. Bret Hart said the best Canadian wrestler of all time. And you got to think about all the great Canadians.
There have been quite a few.
That have come out of the great white north. The best Canadian wrestler of all time, Bret Hart said, was Archie the Stomper Goldie.
The Mongolian Stomper.
The Mongolian Stomper. To which Pat Patterson could not believe his fucking ears.
He had to stop the show.
This was like Pat Patterson firmly believed that this man's opinion was wrong.
Yes.
Which, if you've ever been on our board, there are a lot of people on our board who in fact have opinions that are wrong. But I never thought that Pat Patterson would be challenging Bret Hitman Hart and telling him that his opinion was wrong. He could not...
About Canadian wrestling, mind you.
Stand for this. He could not stand for this answer. And they had quite the back and forth. And he would not let it go.
Yeah, that's the big thing, I think.
Pat would not let go that Bret Hart actually thought that the best Canadian wrestler of all time was Archie the Stomper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he, so they turned around and said, well, Pat, what do you think the answer is? And Pat said, well, Brett, which is a perfectly reasonable answer, but it only served to make Brett more angry.
Yes.
Because Pat thought that, but still didn't want to hear Brett's opinion.
You know who else was really good on the show was Jim Ross.
Jim Ross, well, yes.
There's another man who's a, but I knew that he was a student of the game. Okerlund was... A mild surprise, I guess. It shouldn't have been. But Jim Ross, he really knows his stuff. He knows his history. And, he was talking about what's missing today is guys having long car rides around the loop, so to speak, listening to older guys, older legends, successes, teach them how this business works. And I would not mind a couple of long car rides with good old JR. I'd learn a lot.
Yes, you would.
I would learn a lot. That guy knows his stuff. So he was very good on the show. And if you have Classics on Demand and you watch this show, you can check out Jim Ross with a giant tooth mark in his hand from when he punched Michael Cole in the face. I don't know how the tooth got in the back of his hand. It was quite the beating he laid down. So there's a lot of other stuff. They had some clips of Cena, Edge, TLC. They had clips of Hogan and Rock at Mania X8.
They had a clip of a flag match on Raw from 97. It was Bret Hart, Owen Hart, and Davey Boy Smith versus Steve Austin, The Undertaker, and Dude Love. Mm-hmm. This seemed like something from another world. It was hard. Forget another time. This is something that from just another planet.
So did Hogan and Rock.
Hogan and Rock also. The Canadian fans do love them some Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, they sure love the Hulkster on this day.
Well, they did also. They showed the Montreal ovation he got, where he...
Well, they didn't show all 8.5 minutes.
No, thankfully, but they got the point across. They let us know it went 8.5 minutes of him just standing there and the people cheering for him over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually stopped the report when they brought up Montreal, because I'm sick of that subject, frankly. And honestly, I could tell Brett was too. But they talked about it for like 5 minutes and then moved on to some other stuff, and then the show ended. It was okay. I learned from Jim Ross for sure. I learned some of the really old history, but it was more just here are some names of guys who wrestled in the '50s.
Yeah,
yeah. Which is, you know, the other highlight was you knew the five or six guys that you absolutely had to talk about with Brett and Kaniski and Carpentier and
Carpentier.
I can't see his name.
Carpentier.
Thank you.
Patterson couldn't either.
Well, Patterson can't say a lot.
Or no, it wasn't Patterson. It was the Freebird.
Michael Hayes.
Yeah.
But then they had a TV showing it. You know, they'd be talking and there'd be a TV in the center of the set just showing random clips in a loop. And you'd watch that just for, ooh, it's the Rougeos. Hey, Trish Stratus. Hey, Lance Storm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Lance, you made it.
Lance was a great Canadian worker.
Yes.
There's a revelation for everybody.
that's something I learned from Legends Roundtable.
Yeah. Play a quick song, then we'll do some shout-outs here.
Oh,
here we
good.
Go.
Everybody likes my potato salad. My potato salad. Brings all the boys to the yard, and they're
like, it's better than yours. That's right. It's better than yours, I could
teach you, but I have to charge. My potato salad. Brings all the boys to the yard,
and they're like, it's better than yours. God damn right. It's better than yours, I could teach you, but I have to.
Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Woo! Woo! Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Woo! Woo! Yeah! Woo! Yeah!
I hate potato salad.
I hate those songs. Every time I hear it, I turn the sound down.
Oh, Granny, come on now. Everybody loves them.
Oh, I hate them.
Yeah!
Sam Smith!
Well done!
That man came out of nowhere there.
That's a vast improvement over the original song.
I see if Sam Smith has sent us any other songs. Or if that's his first one. No? Oh, that Invader Ham.
Isn't that a short one, too?
That's, yeah.
Play it again.
I'm going to play Vader Ham
again.
Vader
Ham.
Right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready.
Let's get ready to give a bunch of dudes blowjobs.
Bow to the masters.
Break it down.
Yes.
Stop.
Have a time.
Fuck you.
Yes.
It's not short.
Stop.
You know,
yes. Vader Ham.
Vader Ham.
I still have no idea. I have absolutely no idea what that's about. I cannot explain it. Not even going to try. We got a doink load of shout outs as we do as always. Let's get into them. If you sign up right
fire
now.
Fire intro.
Well, I was distracted by something Carl posted on the front page.
Hmm.
Thankfully, he's alive.
That is good news.
He's posted a new song. You can go up and listen to it right now. For those unaware, Carl Stern, our own Carl Stern, F5 tornadoes destroyed Alabama, including a city very close to where he lived, is now a cornfield. Nothing left. And Carl was housing a couple of homeless families for a while. And I don't know what the update is, but he's posted a new show. So he's all right. His power's back after a week. My God. And Chris Zellner as well. Best wishes to him, who also, he was affected by the tornado. He is also fine, but he had some friends who are apparently not fine. It's a very, very horrible situation. So, best wishes to Carl, and best wishes to Chris as well. And a little more later, but let's do these shout-outs here. This is from Dale. Oh, and as I was mentioning, if you sign up to the website, if you like this show, and you only get to hear one a week, either this or Observer Live or Observer Radio on Mondays, well, sign up. We do 15 to 20 different radio shows per week. We've got a number of different hosts on this show. If you want mixed martial arts, we have Tough Talk, Mike Sawyer and Oliver Kopp. We've also got Five Star Radio with Mike Coughlin. And we've got a new show as well with Josh Nason. Every other Wednesday, we interview an individual from the world of MMA, Josh and I, and tomorrow we'll be interviewing Brendan Schaub. A couple of weeks ago, we interviewed a number of guys, actually. Just go into the archives, you can check them all out. But Josh is working on a number of big guests. Ben Henderson was up a couple of weeks ago, prior to his fight at UFC this past weekend. So if you saw Ben, might be a fun show to listen to. So check that one out. Of course, Carl Stern show. We've got Les Thatcher and Doc Young. They do a show together every week, Wrestling Weekly. Of course, Brian and Vinny's show. Adam and Mike, Big Audio Nightmare with the great Adam Summers and Mike Sempervivi, my co-host on Wrestling Observer Live, my co-host. Brian and Vinny's show, Wrestling Observer Radio. We got so many shows. I'm sure I've forgotten one. Alan's show, the Dr. Keith show, International Wrestling. And that sort of thing. So anyway, all these shows are available for you when you sign up. It's $10.99 a month. And when you sign up, you get full access to all of the new shows. And you get full access to our entire archive dating back to 2005. So if you sign up today, it's like you've signed up for the last 6 years, 7 years. Every single show we've ever done is available. So that's quite the steal. I don't even know why we do that, quite frankly. But we do. So sign up now and you can listen to shows from 2005, 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10... This year, go back and if you had a favorite pay-per-view or there was a newsworthy event you want to hear us talking about it, go back into the archives and listen to it. It's all up there right now. Plus, of course, the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly. 2 to 3 new issues every week, back issues. Tons and tons of back issues are available. So anyway, sign up. Join the fun. Quit being a freeloader. Get these shows every single day straight to your iPod, iPhone, iPad, whatever the case might be. And get a free shout-out, such as from Dale here, who says, "Hi, I'm Dale. I've been subscribed for like 6 months now. What's up, bro? Thanks."
Fine shout-out.
See how easy that is, everybody?
Absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Just gotta send me your shout-out, and I'll read it just like I did for that fellow right there.
Hello, Dale.
All right, this is from Jeff. My username is Holler, and my shout-out goes to the inhabitants of Pagoda's podcast thread for convincing me to sign up for the Wrestling Observer site, which helps the day at work go by a lot faster. My life has also significantly improved since signing up. I've lost weight. I don't owe money to the IRS this year. I found a great new sandwich shop where I live. I'm convinced that my subconscious is picking up on Brian and Vinny's mannerisms, which is responsible for all these good things happening. Actually,
really?
One bad thing did happen, and to the homeless man who broke into my car and stole my music case with CDs I have had since high school, I plan on hunting you down. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia style. Keep up the good work, Brian and Vinny. Nib High School Football Rules.
Nib?
Yeah, Nib High.
Is that short for something?
Don't ask me.
North Island something?
I don't know.
Nib. Your high school sucks, sir.
All right. Andrew here. Been a member for about 16 months or so until finances forced me to stop for February and March. I didn't realize how much I missed it all until I re-upped in April. Dave is the voice of wrestling. You and Vinny are funny as hell and informative. Granny cracks me up, and I end up rearranging my schedule to listen. We didn't have to do that. These shows are all taped. We work around your schedule. Anyway, he says your interview with Sean Waltman especially was terrific because you know how to interview. You ask questions instead of having conversations. Is that really good? But yes, you get your opinions actually, out there yes. also. So my shout-outs, Russo sucks, Dixie is naive, die, Bischoff, die. I'm just reading a shout-out, everybody. I don't endorse these comments. Oh, and I don't like TNA, by the way, he says. Viva L'Empire. That's from Andrew there. Thank you very much, Andrew. Fine man. All right. This is from Steve. Been a subscriber since November 2007. Finally cashing in my shout-out. Obviously, the site is fantastic. Freeloaders don't know what they're missing. Brian and Vinny's Impact reviews are worth the price of a subscription alone. After Dark being my favorite addition to the site in some time. Oh, boy. Slow on the draw with After Dark of late, but it'll be back. In my time on the site, I have learned to avoid the board completely, however. Probably better for my mental state. Vinny, how can you say the Vinny V Sports Report was a failure when you had Lance Storm call you and discuss Star Trek? I call that a win.
I don't.
Shout-outs to the Kitten of Chaos Promotions, Blue Oyster Culture Club, the Kansas City Royals, Metro Pro Wrestling, for featuring number one Brett Young, the Midnight Rose, and the Sioux Chief Crew. Here's hoping Vince Russo will continue booking Impact for years to come so you guys continue to review it. Oh, we'll review it either way. Don't you worry, Steve. Thank you, Steve. All right. Brandon, I just bought my membership yesterday. Asking for a shout-out on the Brian and Vinny Show, I'd like to give two shout-outs to the following people. First off, to Andrew Lane for being the greatest Australian ever live, making $43 an hour at Big W, and being the king of Werribee. Now all he has to do is ask out Maria before even Hoover does. That's an inside shout-out. Second,
I have no idea what's happening with the
Wayne Lister of Wales for being the only fan of Kevin Thorne on the planet, and liking the song Wild and Young by American Bang. Oh, my God. I'd like to end this with a question for Brian. If you're forced against your will to do one or the other, which you'd rather do? Listen to Wild and Young for a year straight or watch Impact all day, every day for a year?
What a stupid question.
I'd rather tie cement blocks to my feet and jump into the sea. How's that an answer for you? Thank you, Brandon. Eric here. Chico Alvarez and Shoulders Torelli. Been a subscriber for a few months now. Decided to cash in my shout-out. Wanted to say I appreciate all the hard work you guys do. I was a freeloader for so long, poaching all the free Brian and Vinny shows I could until finally becoming a paid subscriber. The price of admission is worth it to me just for the Brian and Vinny show. All the other radio shows and newsletters are great, but it is the B&V show that keeps me coming back. Actually, what does that say about me? If I have one gripe, it is I hope you have Vinny back on right after the TNA pay-per-view is over. I'm sure it is torture having to review such an unusually horrible show twice, immediately afterwards with Dave again, but I got a kick out of him. Anyway, thanks, guys, for providing me with so much entertainment. Eric from Texas. Well, Vinny, we'll have to do that from now on.
I won't live where I live forever, everyone.
You won't?
Eventually, I'll move out of Puyallup, yes.
It's from... oh, that's from...
We'll just skip this one, whatever you... I have no idea what's going on, but I can tell we're skipping it.
That's from Anchor.
Oh.
I met Anchor.
How'd that go?
I met him face to head.
I didn't see a photo.
Anchor's got a gigantic head.
Like, Sonny would look at him and say, God damn, your head's big.
I mean, it's because I have a small head. But his head is, like, huge. Really nice guy. I got along great with old Anchor, Vinny. You should have met him.
I bet I would, actually.
You'd get along with him great. I know that you've probably wished death upon him in the past.
Well, I'd have done that with most people.
That's not very nice.
I'm not very nice.
He was a fine gentleman. He's asked me to play the AWO theme song. I'll think about it. Let's just put it that way. He wants me to play the AWO theme song, Vince. Do you remember that?
Oh, I do.
At the end of the show, I'm playing it again. All right, this is from Steve. Cashing in my shout out after joining early January, after freeloading the great free shows, I decided to try a subscription and will be keeping it up. Dave is spooky in his knowledge. You actually feel smart listening to him. Love the Wrestling Weekly show with Les Thatcher.
Is that really a compliment?
I guess. Always good to hear from Lance Storm, Todd Martin too, and the interviews are great. Okay, he says, not Bruce Hart, I tapped out. Last but not least, it's always a pleasure to listen to the Bert and Ernie chemistry of Brian and Vinny. The V-Man is always a good sport, and Brian's passion is great to hear. Quick yays to Tugboat, Wrestling, The Empire, Charlie Brooker, Kinder Eggs, Northeast England Wrestlers, Tony Spitfire, and Max Heat. Crunchyroll.com for tons of legal, up-to-date, free anime. Stan Lee, Kelso from That 70s Show, the Ricky... I can't even pronounce the last name, and people would kill me if I tried.
Ataki?
No. Oh. Jim Ross, Beavis and Butthead coming back, the cast of the masterpiece that is Troll 2! Actually, I did an interview with the star of Troll 2. Or Troll, I think, actually, it was. Apparently, that movie sucked. Special yays for friends and family, and finally, my girlfriend, Tash, finally found a good one. Quick fuck yous to insulting people, Vince not accepting wrestling as wrestling, and also making Tugboat become Typhoon. TNA for squandering talent on bullshit.
I thought I held grudges over silly things.
Vince fucking Russo. The cast of Jersey Shore and other such shit. Stephanie McMahon being in charge of creative. People in jobs anywhere who are twats to anyone for no reason. And irritable bowel syndrome. It is not a fun syndrome. Well, that's why it's irritable.
That actually explains why you're so pissed off about Tugboat.
But, Stevie G.
So this guy...
Wait, we have a Stevie G and a Stevie J?
This guy was sitting at home watching primetime wrestling in 93, 94 or so. And I actually remember when Typhoon debuted as Typhoon. So he's watching Jimmy Hart and Earthquake. And they call out Tugboat. And he's thinking, oh boy, I'm going to see a fat guy in a sailor hat and bell bottoms. And instead, the fat guy comes out in a singlet, and this ruined his day.
Yeah.
For 20 years.
Yep.
All right. Just want to make sure we're clear on that.
I hope Vince is listening right now.
Bring back Tugboat.
Hi, says That's Ryan. How are you? I registered this month. I'm cashing in my shout-out. Now that the introduction's out of the way, I was just wondering, has anyone told you that you sound a little bit like Truth Slayer? If you don't know who that is, here's a link. I don't know if you can open it, depending on if this is printed out or not. Not that I'm complaining if it is. It is awesome that if you did have the courtesy to print my letter, it's still cool if it's not printed and you were just reading it off your computer. That sentence nearly killed me.
That was very annoying.
Who is the Truth Slayer?
I have no idea. I've never heard of the Truth Slayer. But I will tell you that our truth should avoid him, or he'll be slain.
The other question is, what, in your opinion, is the best wrestling promotion overall currently? In my opinion, it is Chikara, but that's just me. ROH has the best wrestling, though. Well, it's tough to say. Depends on the day, really. ROH iPay-per-views are always awesome. Well, TNA always sucks, for the most part. And WWE has some good shows here and there, so just depends on the day. But ROH and WWE are probably the two best promotions at the moment.
Sad.
What else is there? There is nothing else. Dragon Gate's very good as well.
No, I agree with you.
And PWG and Chikara are also very good.
I'm sure if I watched Chikara and PWG regularly, I would like them a lot more.
All right. We've got more. This is from Zach. Greetings, Brian. I decided to pay for a shout out. Commemorate my one-year anniversary with the Empire. Over the last year, every cent I've spent on my subscription has been worth it. So much so that I resubscribe monthly to give you guys the most money possible. Someday I will make it to an Empire get-together to meet all of you fine individuals who make the site the best on the internet. In my last shout-out, I stated that I was trying to get through the entire Brian and Vinny archive, and I am happy to say I've made it through December of 07 so far. I really appreciate all the work that's been done on the site. Keep it up, and thank you. He's still with us after listening to that.
I guess whatever floats your boat, it's a mystery to me.
Thank you, Zach. All right. This is from Cotrere, the great Cotrere. Brian and Vinny, I just wanted to send this in to let everyone know that the Brian and Vinny Rewinds for 2010, the next five volumes of TNA Adrenaline Flush, and the next five volumes of To the Back in the day, Brian and Vinny Classic Wrestling Reviews.
Wow.
All up now in the radio show section of the board.
Well, how about that?
Especially pay attention to the August edition of the B&V Rewind that chronicles Brian's wedding with awesome Brent Kremen stories, Brent's personal ad he placed, and an interview with Whitney Nega Tannhofer Alvarez from Over the Top Radio. Oh my God, I'd forgotten she did that. Yes, she was on Ed's show.
Oh dear.
Shout outs to Markran, Rovert, Barb, Sinbad, Jeremiah Riggs, who is from my hometown, Buck Woodward for getting the fuck off a sinking ship, TNA's death, SEAL Team 6, and my mom and her brother for not letting the restraints of having the same blood stand in the way of giving me life. Fuck offs.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
That sounded disturbing.
Fuck offs to Wade Keller for his incessant Booker T cliche count that nobody could give a fuck about. The Torch for their offensive attempts at comedy. PWPotato.com for even existing. The pussies that felt they couldn't post with Rovert around. And Leaf Cassidy.
Pro Wrestling Potato?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this. I'm not even going to investigate because nothing they could do as a site would be funnier than just the name Pro Wrestling Potato.
It's the Torch's version of The Onion, you see.
See, that's not funny. If you just let me believe there was a site out there that for no good reason called themselves Pro Wrestling Potato, it would have been funny.
PW Potato.
That's fine, too. But now it's not funny.
Don't forget to check out Pro Wrestling Flashback every Thursday at an undisclosed time. And also Over the Top Radio every Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Both shows are now part of the CRN Cotrere Radio Network. At blogtalkradio.com/Cotrere. So let me get this straight. Brian and Vinny Rewinds for 2010, the next five volumes of TNA Adrenaline Flush, which is Vinny and I's reviews of Impact, and the next five volumes of To the Back in the Day, Brian and Vinny Classic Wrestling Reviews, all up now for free in the radio show section of the board if you're a member.
I'm looking at this right now, some of the subjects we talked about. Subjects such as Brian forgets to hit the record button, Tiffany on ECW.
Oh, God.
NXT debut review. TNA rant. You'll have to be more specific.
Random.
Now here's a specific one. Gold Boat rant. People bitching about Brian hating his job. Russo rant. Dixie Carter rant. WrestleLicious debut episode review. Brian, Vinny, and Lance show. Lance and Mikey Whipwreck quit watching TNA. Brian versus Nabil. Another NXT theme rant. Vinny's 0.5 ratings dance. Buff Bagwell interview highlights.
Oh, God.
Sylvia quits watching wrestling. Tulalip Championship Wrestling heist.
That's right. God, the memories.
Dixie Carter tweets about the lost finale. Vomit-inducing Tommy Dreamer promo. Brian and Lance review Impact. Brent Kremen's personal ad. We talked about that, yes.
That's probably from around the wedding when Lance... Lance comes all the way to Seattle, stays at my house, and the first thing we do is watch Impact. Swear to God. Poor guy.
Nabil band on the air. Theme music trivia. Granny. Brent appearance.
All right, Vinny. Jesus Christ.
I did not know this was going to go this long. There's a lot of shows, everyone.
All right. And finally, a shout out from Barbara in San Antonio. Ed's little amiga. So I want to say hi to Brian, Vinny, and the F4W Vegas crew. Don't worry about changing the dessert or dress code for the dinner on Friday in Vegas. Ed asked me what I wanted, and he was only trying to please me. I put his butt in check when he told me about making them changes. I wouldn't mind seeing Ed show up all spiffy, but we don't want it to snow in May. I can't wait to meet everybody in Vegas. I'm bringing my girl Dawn from Austin. She's a cool lady. Not looking forward to meeting Rodney, though. Ed said he's a jerk. Oh, Ed.
Edward.
Ed.
Edward Laredo. Shame.
I cannot believe that. Barb, I don't know what to tell you about Ed. But you probably already know, so.
I'm going to tell you, I don't know what to tell you about Rodney. It's the same thing I've told your wife and my girlfriend. Someday you're going to leave me for this man, and I understand.
Also, can't wait to get crazy with you guys. I hear you can throw down. Take care and have a good night. And P.S., Ed wants everyone to know they can hear a better interview he did with Trina Michaels than the one Brian did with her today at angrymarks.com. Oh, Ed. Oh, Ed.
What a unique fellow he is.
We need to bring Whitney's sister, Quinn, to Vegas. Number one, because she'd just be completely out of her mind. But number two, because she could psychoanalyze Ed. Remember she tried to do that to Brent?
No.
Yeah, she's going to get her PhD in, like, psychology.
Okay, that's funny by itself, but we'll stick with Brent for now. What did she have to say about Mr. Kremen?
Oh, she just, I mean, baffled.
Okay.
I mean, nothing in her PhD training prepared her for Brent Kremen.
I'll say.
Completely baffled.
Nothing in any education, any walk of life could prepare you for Brent Kremen.
And yes, Ed, I just compared you to Brent Kremen. All right, everybody. We're going to wrap the show up, but I didn't know where to put this. I didn't know where to address it, but I figured at the end of the show, because it's not good news, and I didn't want to start the show off with it. But anybody out there that happens to be a praying sort, our friend Rami, Worship the Ram. Many of you who have been on the board for a long time are well aware of Rami. He's a good friend of many people, Worship the Ram. And unfortunately, he's not in good health right now. In fact, he's in very poor health. So, his name is Carl Steffi, Chris Steffi is his real name, and we put some stuff up in the Daily Update today, an address for his sister, and if you'd like to send her some well wishes, that would be the place to do so, and they are hoping that at some point they can read these well wishes to Rami, and that will be that. Her address is maxcat71@aol.com. That's maxcat71 at AOL.com. Her name is Michelle, and you can send all your well wishes to her. And if you go into the board as well, if you go into the major psychological issues section, there's a thread on this, and there's a mailing address, too, if you'd like to send cards and that sort of thing. I don't know if they want that one out all over the world, so I'm just going to leave that one in the major psychological issues section. But it's a very rough time right now, so we'll keep everybody updated on the front page. But again, if you are the praying type, now would be the time. And if you're not, now would certainly be the time for best wishes. And pretty much no matter who you are, you can wish the best for Rami. It's really sucks. So anyway, I don't really know any other updates than or what are on the board right now. I don't know anything that probably anybody else doesn't know, except that things aren't good. So send some messages in there. That's maxcat71@AOL.com. Just send some nice things and hopefully make some people feel better. So anyway, that is all for today. I want to thank everybody for listening. Check out the front page for more. We'll be back tomorrow with Todd Martin is going to be on. Steve Sims will be on Thursday for Cinco de Mayo. And Dave Meltzer on tomorrow as well. New issue of The Observer out either tomorrow or Thursday. It's going to be a two-issue week. So anyway, check all that out. And that's it from here. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.